Hello and welcome to the Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Monster Podcast. My name is Josh Lloyd and you can find me on Twitter at redrock_bball. We're doing a podcast today on a few little things. We're going to be covering the news that's happened during the week. We're going to be looking at some discussion on fantasy rankings. But before I do that, and before we delve into all the information that we need to cover today, I want to introduce both of my guests. There's two of them. That's a better way of phrasing it. I am joined by the wonderful Mark Roberts and the luminescent Kyle McEwen. Guys, how are you?
Hey, Josh. Hey. Happy day before Australian Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's a way of putting it. It's called the Grand Final over here. It's the AFL Grand Final. For some reason, we get a day off work before the Grand Final. It's completely ludicrous. It's only in this state as well, only in Victoria that we get that off. So anyone who's in Melbourne, in Victoria, has the day off work today. It's a really, really odd scenario, but that's where we are. So I'm at home and recording with you guys at a reasonable hour.
Yeah, it's nice to be awake. In honor of your holiday, I went to work today, but I didn't do any work.
Okay, that's fair enough. Then that's completely understandable. I appreciate the solidarity.
Yeah, I wanna show support for the other countries. No,
absolutely.
Watched YouTube clips and listened to podcasts all day.
Absolutely. I'm very, very happy with that. Now, Kyle, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Josh?
Good. Let's tell everyone where they can find you on Twitter.
You can find me on Twitter at RotoKyleNBA. And Mark and I just launched our personal website together, DailyFantasyBasketballPodcast.com. It's probably easier if you just search for Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast, or if you go to one of our Twitters and there's a link there right for you. So you can go that way too. We're going to have projections, rankings, that's all up right now. Mark and I will be doing our own podcast and a bunch of other stuff coming out over the next few days. Right now, you can get on there. You can use our rankings for head-to-head, 8-cat, 9-cat. You can look at Mark's projections and use all of that for your drafts this weekend if you like. So thanks a lot, Josh, for letting us talk about that.
No problem. So it's DailyFantasyBasketballPodcast.com. Kyle and Mark are going to be over there and doing a whole heap of stuff.
I tried to convince Kyle to make the name longer, but he wouldn't go any longer.
Yeah, you need to go as long as possible, Kyle, when you're doing names. It's like the Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Monster Podcast brought to you by Hardwood Paroxysm. And, you know, get it as long as possible. You're missing at least a few syllables there.
Hey, I think we all understand like what I was going for there. It's what are people gonna search for on Google, and then I just want them to come right to us and nobody else,
excluding me.
Exactly.
All right. So what are you gonna do? What are you gonna do on the website, you guys, with the podcast and that this year? Just let everyone know what they're gonna expect from you guys this season.
Mostly reviews, I guess, right, Kyle?
Yeah, no, yeah, exactly.
Pixar movies.
Hey, man, Inside Out, I cried like 12 times watching that movie. It was deep, yo.
We're gonna have to do the Inside Out podcast, Kyle, but that's probably
I'll do that. Mark, why don't you tell them like about the rankings and the projections and stuff?
Yeah, I think one of the things that Kyle and I have some, I think, great ideas about what is going to go up on the website. What is there now? You can go there. You can find the preseason projections that we put together. We've gone through for every player. We've looked at their historical statistics. We've looked at their player comparisons. We've looked at their opportunities for playing time, and we projected a stat line for every single player. And then based on those projections, we've built rankings for all different types of leagues. I think everybody that plays fantasy is understands the frustration of going and looking at rankings and feeling like these don't really apply to my league. Like I play in a head-to-head league, but these are roto rankings where I play with turnovers, I play without turnovers, and these rankings, I don't know what these are. You can go to our site, you can click on head-to-head rankings, or you can click on 8-cat rankings, or you can click on 9-cat rankings, and we're going to keep adding to that. But right now you can get all three of those right now and then, and they're all different. So we're trying to make it useful for whichever type of league you play in.
And one thing we're doing is it's partly because I suck at building websites, but it's also because I wanted to try something new to create engagement. So we're putting up all of our all of our rankings as Google Docs, spreadsheets. If you go in there, everybody who is in that document can comment in it. So you can have discussions with people about it. You can click on a singular cell in that Google spreadsheet, and you can make a comment to Mark or I, and we can come in there and we can talk to you about why things are the way they are. Maybe it'll be good, maybe it won't. We're just going to try it that way and see if that can kind of build some engagement between people, between users, between us, to see if maybe we can. I mean, I don't want to say that we're like crowdsourcing things or anything like that, but I just really wanted to kind of build a conversation and see if that can happen inside of the actual documents where you're, it's actually like kind of commenting on a website page in some respects. So anyways, that's kind of where we're going with it. We're going to have daily podcasts 7 days a week. We're going to have a daily podcast 7 days a week. We're still going to be doing some exhaustive content for year-long leagues, just like Josh does. Essentially, we're going to look at everything Josh has done, and we're just going to copy it because he's super smart and handsome. So it's if there's one thing that the dailyfantasybasketballpodcast.com is going to be, besides more than a mouthful, is it's going to be erotic.
That's what everyone wants. That's what we all want from our fantasy basketball is eroticism. So I think you've got all the bases covered there, Kyle, and I can't see anyone being able to argue with that. So that's exactly what we want to hear.
Kyle's not joking, Josh. One of the names we kicked around was Blue Rock Fantasy Basketball Podcast.
You should have done it. You should have done that. I would have loved it. It's fantastic. No, but you know what? I'm happy. You know what? You're not even copying me, Kyle. There's plenty of space for us both to be out there, putting out different content with different accents and I don't know. You know, that's about it. that's all I've got.
Anyways, let's talk about stuff that people actually want to hear about.
Exactly. I want to talk about rankings, guys. I want to talk about the usefulness of rankings. We're heading into fantasy basketball draft season, preseason.
Speaking of rankings.
What a segue. Oh, if only I had a thought to segue at that smoothly, Mark. You should host this podcast. Fantasy basketball.
I'd like to interrupt when you're talking.
Good. That's creating healthy discussion. Talking about rankings, fantasy basketball draft season is starting. Preseason is starting tomorrow. And you see rankings like Mark, Kyle, you've got your rankings out. I've got my rankings out at many spots. You'll find them everywhere. You can see the stuff on Basketball Monster. I've got my rankings on Fantasy Pros. It's all over the place. But what I wanted to highlight here is the usefulness of rankings and a discussion of how people should use these rankings when they're looking at teams and building their teams and drafting their teams. And I think the most important thing that I want to get across when talking about that is that it's not the be-all and end-all of everything. It's not a simple list of players 1 to 200, and when it comes your turn to draft, you're just grabbing the guy who is the highest on the list. I think we can all agree on that, correct?
Yep.
Correct.
Yep. So once you get out of the first round, out of the first 10 players on a rankings list, and even then, you know, the first three guys are relatively interchangeable. The next four or five guys are relatively interchangeable. Every pick after that becomes dependent on what you've done beforehand. It might be a subtle change, it might be a big change, but you know, if people say you come out like, oh, you've got Jeff Teague ranked ahead of Mike Conley, I don't think he should be one spot ahead of him. It doesn't mean anything, and these numbers don't mean. And what, the further you get into a draft, the range where these things don't mean anything is even bigger. Like you can have guys that are ranked between say 50 and 60, and you can have 3 point guards, 2 centers. And you say, oh, why have you got Michael Carter-Williams ahead of Marcin Gortat? Or why have you got Jonas Valanciunas ahead of Chandler Parsons? Like, it's completely different. And one person will have, you know, Valanciunas 20 spots higher because, you know, they're desperate for a center. They need a field goal percentage boost. They need scoring. They need rebounds. Whereas the other person's gone big early on, and they don't need that. So then that gets bumped down. And I think the main point I want to get across, Mark, you can elaborate on this a little bit, is it's to do with building your team and building the stats correctly. And that's where you've got to use the rankings, but using projections is probably what's definitely an easier way of doing it, and working out how you're building your stats up to each level that you need, taking into consideration stat scarcity and all that sort of stuff.
Mark, yes. So there's Josh, I know you've seen this. On Reddit, there's been a lot of conversation about BPA, best player available.
Yes. Yep.
What it really sounds like you're getting at here is the fact that you don't just take the best player available in a fantasy basketball draft.
Correct.
You do have to take into account that you are building your team.
Yep,
right?
Exactly.
Okay.
No, I think that's a great comment. I mean, that's the fun part about fantasy basketball, I think, is we don't just have these point totals assigned to the players.
Exactly.
Like, arbitrarily from how many rushing yards they have and touchdowns, and you can just kind of tell, like, hey, in all cases, the player that averages 25 points is better than the player that averages 20 points.
Yep.
Right? There's no debate about that.
Yep, that's
very
straightforward.
It's different because the performance is variable. Basketball, the performance is much more predictable. Like, we can pretty accurately predict what a player is going to do with a little variance due to playing time. But the fun part about fantasy basketball is you're building a team. Like, there's no, in all cases, player X is better than player Y. It's so dependent on the players that you picked, kind of what you're talking about, Josh. So one of the things I like to do to kind of help with that, I think everybody understands the idea of a tier system and looking at things like that. You'll notice, and I don't mean to make this an advertisement for our website, but I think we are excited about it. One thing I like to do is have the auction values right there that are based on the projections, so that you can know relatively, not just in an ordinal ranking, like this player's ranked 20th, this player's ranked 25th, but you can see, hey, look, if they have the exact same auction value, there's just a barely like a tiny difference between them. Pick the 25th best player if you need assists and he gives you assists, you know? So, you know, if you go out onto our website and you look at the rankings, you'll see that they all have auction values by them. And like I said, if you see two players, 40, you know, I don't know, 5 or 10 spots rankings apart from each other, but they have the same auction value, which basically means they're in the same tier, pick the one that's best complement for the player you just took.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You, Kyle, you mentioned that the best player available is great, but if you're going on a list and you pick James Harden at pick 2 and then the next best available player when you pick 23 is DeAndre Jordan, theoretically that's the best player available, but it's actually the worst player available because what's the point of doing it? You're just completely destroying James Harden's biggest categorical strength with his free throws and rendering it useless, and it's not a smart way to go about doing it.
I mean, I would agree with that in rotisserie leagues.
Yeah,
I would be okay with following up a James Harden pick with DeAndre Jordan. Well, I wouldn't take DeAndre Jordan there, but I get what you're saying. Now you want to make me want to talk about DeAndre Jordan and why I think that he's overrated, but we can not do that right now.
Why would you take Jordan in a head-to-head league with Harden when you set yourself up to win that category and you take Jordan, you set yourself up to lose that category? Like, you can't recover.
Well, but you already know that my head-to-head strategy is always punt the percentages.
Yep.
So I'm going to focus in on the categories, the counting stats, and I'm going to go after those. So in that regard, I'm just not worried. Plus, you know what? If DeAndre Jordan has 2 games in a week or 3 games in a week, but James Harden has 4 or 5, like, I don't, for that week, the impact of DeAndre Jordan's free throws may not really put me in such a bad spot that I'm going to lose that category on a given week.
Now, that's true. If you're punting the percentages like you do, Kyle, there's no problem with that sort of thing. I'm just thinking that if you're taking Harden and you're going to get that massive, massive volume in free throws and then you're just going to wipe it out with the next pick, you're not using Harden's strengths to his advantage?
No, your point is taken. And we could find a different example that I think Kyle would agree with, right? Like if...
Yeah.
But I think to your point, Kyle, like that's part of the reason that we kind of recommend punting percentages because that's really the only place where you can wipe out what you've already accomplished. Like by taking James Harden, you've accomplished having a big advantage in free throw percentage, and you can wipe that out with a new player. You can't really do that with the counting stats, right? Like if you take Curry and then you take Drummond.
Yeah, you haven't wiped out Curry's advantage.
Yeah, you're not getting more free throw. You're not getting any more threes, so that lessens your advantage. But it's not like you've negated the advantage.
Yep.
And I think that's the biggest reason we recommend, you know, just forgetting about the percent. You know, you need to be strong in only a few categories in head-to-head. So just forget about the percentages. They're hard to kind of manage, but the counting stats are easy to manage. You just make sure, hey, last time I picked a 3-point guy with assists and steals, so next time I want to also be good in rebounds and blocks. I'm going to take a big guy.
Yep.
I mean, when you're the more stats you take into the equation, the harder I mean, the more difficult your decisions are, or the more things you need to calculate for. I mean, when I drafted a rotisserie league, I'm looking at guys like Mark Gasol, Pau Gasol, those guys who aren't crappy at anything.
Yeah, exactly.
And then I focus in
or
on that. You know,
if they have a last name Gasol.
Yeah, exactly. But like Kyrie Irving last year, he was being discounted for some reason, and I remember getting him late or in the second round in one of my rotisserie leagues, and I was like, awesome, because Kyrie Irving has a great field goal percentage for a guard, so you love that. He's also got a good free throw percentage, all this kind of stuff. Like, it's you do have to weigh the total impact in a rotisserie league, whereas if you do punt in a head-to-head league, it allows you to kind of just narrow your focus a little bit and make things a little bit easier, where you're sitting there and you're going, okay, I took James Harden in the first round. I know what he doesn't get me is blocks. So I'm going to go out and get one of the best blocks guys. And that's one of the reasons why Mark and I talk so much about punting percentages in the head-to-head leagues, because it's the variance from week to week. It's just not going to impact you the same way that it will absolutely impact you having a crappy free throw percentage guy in a rotisserie league. I was gonna say the word shit.
You can say that on Josh's podcast.
Yeah, we're not. I'm not bound.
We're gonna
by
say that on our podcast too. The only thing I'm gonna go Josh's route. I think the only thing we're not gonna say is that the big melon farming the F word.
That's not a curse word in your country, is it, Josh?
What, melon farming?
No, I don't know about melon farming.
Funk with a C.
No. That one is right.
Yes. Yeah. No, okay. Curse words
are
pretty
universal.
The one that
people use instead of poop.
No. It's still considered a. It's still considered a bad word, so to speak. To a degree, obviously. I think it's pretty similar. What we have over here in terms of what you guys have over there. In terms of that sort of thing, anyway.
Anyway,
so your son said it, you would have to tell him to not sniff.
Yes. Yes, exactly. That's the approach that I take at this stage anyway. Yeah, so that's what I want to talk about with rankings. It's just that it's fluid. I think it adjusts during your draft. And that's the biggest key to it, is that they're going to change as you move along in the draft, and as you pick people, what you're going to need next is going to be different. You're going to need a different person based on who you get in your first five picks. Then your next two or three picks are dictated by what you've done earlier. It's also dictated by what everyone else has done and which players have been taken and which position has been, you know, destroyed with guys going earlier than necessary. And you might have had, I want to grab one of these five centers in round 7 or 8, but four of them are gone by round 5, and you go, well, I need one of these guys. I'm going to have to go in round 6 for this guy, even though it might be, you know, oh, but he's ranked 80th, and I'm picking at 60. It doesn't matter at that point. As long as it fits what you need to do, then it's an okay pick. And we talk about tiers. The guys ranked between like 40 and 70 end up being on a tier all to themselves, and, you know, 70 to 100 are a similar tier. The separation between those guys at the end is so small in comparison to the separation at the top. Like, the separation between the top three guys and then the next five guys is bigger than, I think, the difference between the guys at 20 and 60 or something along those lines. It's so big a difference that in those mid-rounds, it's so interchangeable.
That's why I was checking the numbers while you were talking, Josh. This is why you're a fantasy savant. What you said is exactly true. The difference between, in our rankings, Harden is first in head-to-head.
Yep.
And Cousins, believe it or not, is third. But the difference between those two, the value, like the auction value, is the same as the difference between the 20th best player and the 60th best player.
It's crazy. So I said, once you get out of the first round.
So pick anybody between 20 and 60. Just pick build your team the way you want.
Yeah, exactly. It's
don't be a slave to the rankings.
That's the point. That's the key phrase, Mark. Don't be a slave to the rankings, because those guys are it's just a blanket you throw over these 30, 40 guys. It doesn't matter, and it's all based on how you start off and how you're wanting to strategize your team and what everyone else does, and especially like in an auction as well. There's so many other variables that go into it, but it's not like these are the preset auction values on ESPN and Yahoo, and I've got to make sure that this guy goes at this certain price. Like, it's so variable. As soon as one thing happens, everything gets changed, and that's the great thing about fantasy basketball, is it's not boiled down to one number, unless you play in a points league, which I do encourage that you don't. And you move into a category league, and yeah, the strategy is it's part of the enjoyment of it is being able to think about these things.
You know what? I've gotten actually pretty frustrated in drafts because by the time I get around to being in the range where you would draft Derek Favors, I've already got big men on my team that I like. So then I'm looking for point guards at that time of the draft. And it upsets me because I think Derek Favors has a lot of room for growth this season. Yeah, and I think that he can end up surprising and end up being like a second or third round value when it's all said and done, if it all comes together for him.
Yep, and that's the other thing as well. You have to look at where guys are potentially getting drafted. Like if you want to get yourself a point guard in the second round, there's not many point guard options in the second round that again, look, not in terms of their value, because I said that's close, but you're not going to see many point guards go off the board in the second round. Yeah, maybe Kyrie goes off the board there, but you're going to see a stack of them go off between 25 and 40. So you got to sort of look, do I reach on a point guard early, or you're going to have six big men go between 10 and 20 most likely. So if you want to get a big man, you have to grab them there. And a lot of that's based on the way that Yahoo and ESPN sets up their rankings initially, and that influences the way a lot of people think. So these players are going to go in a similar sort of range to that. So you have to take that into consideration as well. Even though you might think that a guy like, you know, Derek Favors is a top 20 player, you probably don't need to pick him in the top 20 because he's likely not going to go there. You know, you might have Eric Bledsoe as a top 20 player. You might have Victor Oladipo as a top 20 player, but you probably don't need to grab them there. There's a lot of factors involved in it.
Can I add one more thing about the rankings?
Sure.
I think one of the reasons people like are such a slave, especially on the place where they're drafting, is they feel like, I haven't done my research, but obviously somebody at Yahoo or ESPN has done good research, and these rankings are, they know better than I do.
Yep. Go on, Mark, say it.
That's not necessarily true, first of all.
Yes. Here's something that I talked to Mark about in regard to kind of that, is that like trying to reverse engineer the rankings on Yahoo and ESPN to the point where you're saying, like, how did they – because when we do rankings on Basketball Monster with you, Josh, or yep, with what we do on the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast.com, we don't like sit there and go, okay, these are the rankings. We say these are the projections. This is what we think this guy is going to do this season. And then the rankings are just formulated from that.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, we spend 99% of our time on the projection, on figuring out the right stat. And the rankings are just a mathematical equation from there.
Yeah, they just automate themselves from there.
Yeah.
Right. Whereas on Yahoo or ESPN, it appears like it's very subjective, meaning – it appears like somebody went in and was like, you know what, this is what I think. And they just kind of went for each player. And I'm sure they spent a lot of time thinking about it and everything. And it's hard to be in that position, too, because we're talking about the fact that we offer on our sites the ability to have customizable stats and customizable rankings that fit your league settings. Whereas on Yahoo and ESPN, they have to come up with this universal system. And on ESPN, it's theoretically, air quotes, 8-8 category, no turnovers. On yep. Yahoo, it's theoretically 9-cat. But when you release your first rankings on Yahoo and you have Reggie Jackson at 108, you're on crack. You are on crack.
Yep. And Carlos Boozer's at 134.
Yeah, it's
there's lots of problems. But my basic point is, okay, there's a lot of bad rankings out there. I shouldn't say bad. There are smart people doing subjective rankings, which I don't think is the right way to do rankings, but you know, we're trying to predict the future, which isn't an exact science. But even if you're using good rankings, even if you're using Josh's rankings, or hopefully ours are good rankings, it's not an exact science either. Like, we're making some guesses. And so when I go into a draft and I see two point guards that my rankings say are going to be about the same value, so it's not even a category thing, but I like one of them better, or I personally think, hey, the projections say this because that's what the historical data backs up, but I just like this guy better, or I have this weird feeling that he's going to do good this season, go with that guy. Like, that's what fantasy sports are all about, is picking the guys that you believe in.
And that's key as well, Mike. What you said is that some guys are going to make a jump and there's no way of projecting it. Like, there's no one could have predicted that Jimmy Butler was going to do what he did last season. You couldn't have thought.
And we're not trying to. I mean, I don't know what you're trying to do at Basketball Monster. We're not trying to do that. We're just basically trying to say, for this player based on what we know.
This is the most likely
this
scenario.
This is a reasonable explanation.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what you're trying. And I had someone tweet me out. It's Kevin Lappin, who's in our Dynasty League, Mark. He was comparing two players their first three seasons. It was Jimmy Butler and Harrison Barnes, and their numbers were almost identical per possession basis. But to expect Barnes to have the sort of jump that Butler did, you can't. That's out of the ordinary. You can't expect that sort of thing. Like, it was not something.
That's his best case scenario, right? That's Barnes' best case scenario. But we can all acknowledge that it's a scenario that could happen. So if you believe that's the scenario that's going to happen, draft Barnes.
There's probably a four.
Don't believe that. Do not believe that.
There's a 5% chance of that happening.
Kyle doesn't believe it, so he's not going to draft Barnes. But if your buddy believes it, draft him two rounds higher or whatever, so that you make sure you get him. Because the last thing you want to do is be like mid-season. Barnes blows up and becomes an all-star, and you're like, well, I guess I didn't draft him because I guess, I hadn't crossed off all the players above his name on my ranking sheet.
Yeah.
If you're going to draft Harrison Barnes two rounds early, it should be like the second guy you take off the waiver wire after the draft is done. Okay.
That's the 24th round.
Exactly. Do not draft Harrison Barnes in your standard leagues, please. And that actually goes against our rankings, but I just don't buy that he's going to. He doesn't have. Here's the thing: a lot of times when you're looking at rankings too, like Mark was talking about, the way we have our rankings set up, projection set up is like, this is the most reasonable projection we can give based on historically what they've done, yada yada yada, and what their projected growth could be based on like a bunch of historical factors. But I'm losing my thought.
We're basically trying to give like Vegas would be, like try to give an over-under for each of their categories.
Yep.
And just say, hey, if you were going to bet on Harrison Barnes' point total, we would set that at 10.8, and we would expect an equal number of people to bet over, and we would expect an equal number of people to bet under. But if you're one of the people that believes over, hike him up in your rankings. Like, pick him. If you're one of the people like Kyle who believes in under, even though on his website he's put in a lot of work to rank him 117th, doesn't mean Kyle has to take him 117th.
No,
Kyle
exactly.
Doesn't believe in him. He's going to pass on him.
I think one of our rankings, we have Bradley Beal like a couple slots below Harrison Barnes. I'm personally going to take Bradley Beal way before I take Harrison Barnes because I look at Bradley Beal and I believe that his ceiling is much higher than Harrison Barnes. So that's where you make your determination is you're saying, okay, now based on what we see here or what these rankings are, do I think that the person's going to do better in certain statistics? And if you think that, then hike them up on the rankings a little bit. This takes away some of the convenience of what we're trying to offer by providing rankings though, because a lot of people do just want a plug and play option. They want to come in, grab the rankings and go and do the draft and hope that the guys that they're trusting are going to put them in a position to win. So, I mean, whatever. You got to accommodate, several different kind of users. But if you are trying to find out the best way to draft your team, you do need to spend time kind of looking at the entire picture and saying, okay, I do like this guy better than that guy, and I'm willing to take him higher in the rankings than what he is on this site or that site. I hope that wasn't too convoluted.
No, that makes sense. And look, you mentioned Bradley Beal. Another guy to me in that situation is Paul George. Like, you've got him coming in at 11. I think when I do it, he comes out at like 12 or 13. But if I'm picking at 12 or 13, I'm not picking him because, Kyle, I know you're very bullish on him this season. I'm scared shitless that he's not going to be the same guy. Like, I'm really, really scared that he's not going to be the same guy. So I'm not picking him at pick 12. I'm not wasting my first round pick on him at that point, even though the numbers all come out that way. And it can make sense, but the doubt in him is higher than what it is for, say, another guy. And I go, well, someone else can deal with that. And if he blows up, what's his ceiling? If he blows up, his ceiling becomes pick 9. I haven't really lost that much. I haven't missed out a guy who's going to be the number one fantasy player. And I just don't want to deal with that risk. But even though the numbers come out that high, I'm not picking him there.
Yep.
I think.
And whereas, maybe Kyle or I would want to pick him higher than that.
Yeah, exactly.
That's pretty funny too.
Exactly. So,
and especially, I prefer auction drafts. Like, I think auctions are a lot of fun, but especially in a snake draft, like where you might not get a, like, if a guy's a half a round below where you're picking and you think somebody's going to take him, you've got to reach
just
and take him.
And especially if you're on the turn, if you're picking one or picking, say, 12, you pick 12 or 13, and then you might go, there's a guy I really want, and his ADP is 25, and I'm picking at 13. you're not going to get a chance at 25 because your next pick doesn't come until the 30s. If this is the guy you want that's going to be exactly what you want at this spot, and it probably doesn't happen as much at 12 or 13, but when you get to the later rounds at like 56 or whatever, and there's a guy that's got an ADP of 75 and you're picking at 56, you're not going to get a chance at 75. You've got to grab him at that spot there, even if it, and someone will go, oh, that's a reach, 20 spots too high. You just give him those ones and go, that's it. Like I've got to pick him at the right spot for me, because I'm not going to have another pick. And it's not like I'm just going to get it. I'm not going to get that magical pick at his ADP because I just don't have a spot there.
You know, I think a good example here is, Josh, you really like Victor Oladipo. I love Victor Oladipo. Most of us do. And he's getting drafted in the second round of a lot of drafts right now, whereas his Yahoo ADP is 35.
Yep.
So, and we've got Victor Oladipo projected for 21st in head-to-head leagues. I think he's going to be better than 21st potentially.
Yeah, I've got him at 19th.
See. whereas in the one of the reasons why I would take Victor Oladipo in the second round is because I expect him to score close to 20 points, potentially even more, on that Orlando team.
Yep.
Josh, have we already talked about the whole Rudy Gobert thing?
I think we talked about it last weekend.
But can we bring Mark into it? Because I just want another opinion on it, because I don't like we've got Rudy Gobert projected for 10.5 points per game. And his rank in head-to-head is 19. I don't want to draft somebody who only gets 10.5 points per game in the second round.
He's the look on Basketball Monster. We've got him projected at 10 points a game, and he is the lowest point producer out of the. I'm just dual scrolling down to find someone who's got lower points than him.
The next hot,
Gorgie Jing at 69 is the next guy who's less points than Rudy Gobert, and that can be an issue. Like that's an issue.
Kyle, I get what you're saying about the points, right? Because points are difficult to gather later in the draft.
You can say it; they're sacred early.
Yeah, I mean. The best NBA players are the ones that score the most points, and they go at the beginning of the draft. Like,
I think that's a quote from the Pope, actually, from his recent trip into America.
Have you been in any leagues with the Pope?
I'm in the official Vatican Fantasy Basketball League.
he's playing on the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast.
You should get him in as a guest.
Actually, we created the link because Mark sometimes goes by the fantasy name of Pope Francis because his middle name is Francis, and or the fantasy Pope. And so, like, the Pope was searching around for a fantasy basketball website, and he found Mark, and then we all just – it just kind of went from there.
I'm sure that's not offensive to anybody.
So back to our Rudy Gobert discussion. So points are hard to get, so you're definitely going to be – kind of behind the eight ball on points if you draft Rudy Gobert in the second round, right? But I could see pairing him with Durant and you being okay with that, right?
I think you're not going to be able to. I think he's going to start going at pick 11, pick 12, pick 14, that sort of range. I've got him down
the
at about 20.
The hard thing, Kyle, is, I mean, it's almost the same thing. Like, it's hard to find somebody else. Like, you can say that about points. Yeah, you're not going to find somebody else who's – that's your chance to grab somebody who's going to get 25 points. But it's also kind of your chance to grab somebody who's going to get 12 rebounds and 3 blocks a game and a steal.
You have to be specific.
And you know what? This is kind of weird, and I'm going to maybe confuse people here, but in a head-to-head league too, I will occasionally take into account percentages throughout the course of the draft if I'm trying to make a decision between one guy and another guy. You know? Mm-hmm. So if I'm sitting there and I'm trying to decide in a head-to-head league, if I'm going to take Rudy Gobert or Andre Drummond, I might take into consideration, depending on who I drafted in the first round, to take Rudy Gobert because of his better free throw percentage.
Right. Well, that's just a good reminder of, like, by punting categories, we don't mean intentionally trying to lose them.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Don't focus on them. So if you get halfway through the draft and you realize, hey, my team's really good at field goal percentage, don't intentionally pick players to try to lose it. Just continue to be good at that category and the other ones.
Yep. Now, you mentioned Gobert's free throw percentage. I don't know, I think it was you, Kyle, but he's still a 62% shooter we've got him projected for. You've got him projected as a 60% shooter. That's not good.
It's not better than Andre Drummond.
Yeah, yes, clearly, but it's still in a situation where you do need to consider it if you aren't punting free throw percentage. You need to draft around him. And same as the points, like his free throw negative is bigger than his points negative, and finding high volume free throw guys is just as hard as finding high volume scorers. You need to really.
I actually think that's the sacred category in early in drafts.
Free throw percentage.
I think if you're going to win free throw percentage, you've got to do it in the first round.
And because look, the only guys you can get later on really that have got big volume and big percentage, you can get Kevin Martin as a decent contributor, and DeMar DeRozan. You need to really make sure that you are focusing. Like, you can get DeMar DeRozan because he can go to the line 6 or 7 times a game and hit 85%. There's not many guys that might hit. Like, JJ Redick will hit 90%, but he'll do it on 1 attempt or 2 attempts, and it's okay, but it's not risking you out of a hole. You need to go, I need Martin, I need DeRozan. Like, these are the guys who can get in those 50 to 80 range who can actually rescue
Durant
them.
Or Harden. And
yes.
Win it that way.
Yes, you
I mean,
do.
That's the easiest way to win free throw percentage.
Yep.
Late in your draft, if you are looking for somebody to help you out with your free throw percentage, Alec Burks from Utah. He's finally going to be healthy this year with his left shoulder, and he goes to the rec. He's kind of a Corey Maggette type guy. So just throwing that out there.
And Isaiah Thomas is another one. There are guys.
But you've got to be real specific.
If you look at the value of the field goal or the free throw category, so much of it is in the first round.
Yep, definitely.
So you're really in a bad place. Like in a roto league, I don't think you can win free throw percentage if you don't draft one of those main free throw guys in the first round, even if you pick up a DeRozan or a Burks or Isaiah Thomas later. Maybe if you pick up all of them.
I mean, are there any guys in the first round who are bad at free throw percentage?
LeBron,
yeah. Actually doesn't do you any favors. DeMarcus 74%. Cousins. 74%. DeMarcus Cousins is pretty good, but not excellent. He's not going to
DeMarcus is kind of like what you're targeting, though, in rotisserie, though. He's at 78% for our projections on free throw this year, and he's going to go to the line a crap ton.
Yeah, but what you're going to need to
do is... you're not going to win that. You're not going to win that.
You're average.
You're not getting Steph Curry's 90%.
Yeah, he puts you
at
average.
But if
everyone else then has to be above to really get you up. Like, he's right. Like, if he gets that percentage, he comes in almost exactly at league average. Like, we've got him at 76.5%, which is... coming in at a standard score of 0. So he's right in the middle. So that means you need to get other guys who are above it and consistently get, because if you get someone who's below that with a negative contribution, then you're going to drop down to the bottom 3, bottom 4 in free throw percentage.
So my point, Kyle, is if you draft Cousins, like, he's not going to hurt your free throw percentage, but there's no place later in the draft, really, unless...
You have to be real specific about getting other guys.
You're picking specifically guys just for that category. There's not a lot of room to make that up to compete with the Durant owner or compete with the Harden owner or to compete with the Curry owner, because they've already got somebody shooting 90% going to the line so much. Which,
okay.
Full circle, that's why that's another reason we say punt percentages in head-to-head. Just don't worry about it.
But, I mean, you're not trying to say that you can't win a rotisserie league with DeMarcus on your team, though.
No, you can win.
To win that category. It's hard to win free throw percentage.
Like it's hard to get the 12 points in a 12-team league. Yeah, I mean, I get that. But the target percentage, too, in a 12-team league is like 80%. Maybe 82.
Right. I think 82 is high.
Or 10 or 10.
82 feels hard to me.
I think I won for free throws in a league last year with 78% or something along that line.
In a head-to-head league, if you're at 78.5, you should win majority of weeks. If you get to 80, then you're pretty much guaranteed to be top 1 or 2.
But what you guys are saying is, how about this then? And sorry for all my like layman questions and whatnot, but like Klay Thompson, he shoots, 88% from the free throw line, but he only shoots three and a half attempts there a game or less?
Yep.
How does that equate in relation to DeMarcus Cousins shooting a 78%, but getting,
standard score on those two?
Okay, I'll tell you what my standard score is for those ones. Okay, so Klay Thompson has a standard score of 0.82, and this is to do with a 12-team league, so 156 player pool. 0.82 is his standard score, and DeMarcus Cousins is 0.02. So,
and what is Durant's?
Kevin Durant is at 2.05.
See, that's my point is, and it's not like you can. My point is, like, later on, you can pick up Zach Randolph and make up for your rebounds that you haven't picked up in the first round, yep. Or you can pick up a guy maybe in blocks, but points and free throw percentage are really hard to ever make up if you don't pick up a guy who shoots a lot of free throws and shoots them well.
Yep, that's accurate. I'm just going to look at who the biggest sort of standard score free throw percentage players are and see where they fit. If my screen would let me look at it.
I absolutely love taking DeMarcus at like pick 5 in pretty much every league right now. That's pick 5 or 6.
I picked him at pick 4. I love him, but that was a head to head league. But look,
okay.
Out of the
we
top,
haven't heard of him on head rankings, Kyle.
We have him at 30 on head to head.
Third, number 3.
Third. Yeah,
he's
yeah.
going to be awesome. He's going to be fantastic. I took him at 4. I think he's going to be great. But at that point, the top 12 guys in terms of free throw percentage contribution, not free throw percentage, free throw percentage contribution, out of the top 12 guys, I'll go through them. Harden, Durant, Curry are the top 3. Westbrook, Lillard, and then you've got DeRozan, who's that's that guy. Again, if you need the free throws, he is one of the late round guys.
And points, too.
And points. Right? He's a 22-point scorer and a big free throw, so he's good there. Isaiah Thomas is next. Kevin Martin is next. So they're your 3 mid to late round guys. And then you go Chris Paul, Kyrie Irving, Paul George, Rudy Gay. And they're all early round players in terms of they're the top 12 contributors in free throw percentage. Now, down below that, you can get some lower guys. Danilo Gallinari, Lou Williams, Jamal Crawford. But Jamal Crawford's going to hurt you in so many other areas that you might not even be able to roster him, especially in a 10-team league. You're not probably even going to be able to roster him because you can add him, but then your field goal percentage is going to die. You're going to get no rebounds. You're going to get no other stats apart from threes, really.
Can we talk about why DeMar DeRozan is so far down on the rankings? Like, is it because when you look at his raw stats of 20 points a game, 4.5 rebounds, 3.5 assists, over a steal a game? Yes, he doesn't get you any 3-pointers, but is that really the reason why, or is it also his field goal percentage? Like,
well, even if you look at his our head to head rankings, Kyle, he comes in at number 68, which is lower than you might expect. I think the defensive stats and the three pointers hurt him. I think we're all kind of familiar with the guys that do like the 3-pointer, the steal, and the block. Like those are guys you want to target. He's almost like the antithesis of that.
Yeah,
he's not gonna get you one in any of those.
I still think he's a good value player. Like he's got an O rank on Yahoo of 64. He's got an ADP of 73. I've got him at 58 on my head to head rankings. And as I said, you could go even higher than that if you really need that free throw percentage. You know, you can then potentially afford Gobert earlier on because you can get 20 points later on. You can get this big free throw bump, and it's a pretty significant bump that he can give you there, and you can go around early on him, and I think he's going to be great. And you just got to supplement it with three somewhere else. Like you got to get your three somewhere else. You're going to get your assists somewhere else. But even 4 assists as a shooting guard is not bad. Like it's a pretty good number.
Is like in a weird value in that he allows you to be able to pick other players. That the stats he's good at are only usually reserved for very good fantasy players.
That's true.
And so you can pick conventional ones early. And we can't reflect that in the rankings because we don't know who you're going to pick early.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he's a guy that you need to, like as you're thinking about team building and you've drafted Rudy Gobert or DeAndre Jordan. Well, not even DeAndre Jordan. He's not going to make up for that. But if you pick somebody with low points, say you pick like Rudy Gobert and like Draymond Green, you're going to need points later on. He's one of the guys that will help you in that.
You pretty much have to unless you're punting the points. The other thing with DeMar DeRozan is he finished off last season red hot, and no one really remembers that. He was troubled by that groin injury early. It took him a while to come back. His last month, he was at almost 24 points a game. He was almost at a 3 a game, 5.5 rebounds, 4.5 assists, a steal, and he shot 44% from the field, which for him at 17 attempts, if he gets up to 44, he's actually not going to, he'll hurt you marginally, but he's not going to hurt you as much as what he was when he's shooting 41 for the entire season. So he was at less than 40 for a chunk of the season, and he really stepped it up, and he was on fire down the stretch for them. Enough DeMar DeRozan talk. Let's
I mean, there it's interesting though, because like you look at he only shot what 41% from the field last year.
Yep.
On the season DeMar DeRozan did, like I would hate having that on my rotisserie team, But then I'm okay with having James Harden, who's shooting 43%, which is just 2% higher. Now, your target field goal percentage in a rotisserie league is about 48% for your team overall. It's just, it's weird trying to understand, I guess it kind of goes back to what we kind of started talking about at the beginning of this podcast, in that when you get down to, like, after the top 20 players, from 21 to, like, 60, there's not that much difference.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's really just what do you need on your team. And if you drafted Rudy Gobert early, you might have to take a Kevin Martin later in your draft or DeMar DeRozan
because you need to get
some of those other stats. Yep.
They're the three guys you want to look at.
I guess the answer to your question is, I wouldn't say Rudy Gobert is off limits, but if you don't like drafting DeMar DeRozan early and Isaiah Thomas early and Kevin Martin early, you need to think long and hard about if you really want Rudy Gobert.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think
you're going to have to do that. You're going to have to draft those kind of guys.
I want to ask you guys a question. Mark, I'll start with you. Just one-word answer. Will you have Rudy Gobert on any of your teams this year, do you think? In all probability, will you draft Gobert at all? Or will you ever be in a position to draft him? Do you think that he's going to be a guy that you will take?
I've already taken him.
Well, there you go. Answer, Kyle?
But there was no unique dynasty league.
Okay.
I think in a standard year, head-to-head league, probably not.
Yeah, I'm with. I don't think I'm going to end up. There's a guys that I know that I'm just not going to end up with, and it's not because I don't like them. It's because I'm just not going to be in a position to draft them where I want to. He's going to be one of them. Giannis Antetokounmpo is going to be another one of them, I think, and Andrew Wiggins is going to be another one, and possibly CJ McCollum might be another one that I'm not going to be reaching into the 70s to get them.
That's not because he's bad at points. That's because the internet loves them and everybody wants.
I'm not going to get him at the right. I'm not going to get him at the right spot for what I think is the right value for him, and that's the same with all those guys. Their hype is probably going to exceed, or their hype is going to be on their absolute ceiling, and I don't really want to draft all my guys at their absolute ceiling, because you're prone for a letdown. You can't win if you're drafting each of your guys at their absolute ceiling, because we know it's just not going to happen. We know it's not going to happen. All right,
true that, dog.
I think that's enough talk on. Let's talk about some of the news that's been happening throughout the last week since we spoke, Kyle. Actually, let's move into these questions first. Jeff Brown asked a question at JM Brown 10001. I'm just going to move my cursor out of the way so I can see. In a head-to-head league that counts the standard 8 categories, plus assist to turnover ratio and double-doubles, which player's value rise or fall the most? Do you want to start with that, Mark?
That didn't come through.
Okay.
It kind of got choppy. What did you say?
I said in a head-to-head league that counts standard 8 category plus assist to turnover and double-doubles, which players' values rise the most?
The assist to
turnover. Chris Paul. Chris Paul's the one that comes to my head because he's a point guard who gets he gets double-doubles, and he gets more double-doubles than any other point guard, really, maybe save Russell Westbrook, and his assist to turnover is that much better than everyone else's. That he is the guy who gets the biggest sort of bump in that category. Almost, he becomes possibly a top three guy, I would say, in that sort of format.
I agree.
Yeah, and I mean...
Sorry, I thought you were going to give us a list of guys to rank or something.
That's the next question.
Who rises?
Yeah, who rises?
John Wall.
Yep.
Because John Wall, he might lead the league in turnovers, though, Kyle.
But he's going to get you those double-doubles.
But he'll get you 10 assists as well.
Yeah, right. So it's like a plus and a minus there.
Yep.
I mean, all the big guys are going to rise with double-doubles, right?
And what you want to do is look at big guys who get, like, Blake Griffin is going to be an okay guy. Kevin Love, who will get some decent assist numbers.
See, I don't know about Blake Griffin. Dude's been, what did he average, like 6.8 rebounds per game last year?
7.6.
Yeah.
Not much, definitely.
And I think what assist-to-turnover ratio gives you is a chance to not have to focus on point guards as much.
Yep.
Basically, like, you could draft Chris Paul and not have to worry about any more point guards and not do as well in the assist category, but you're going to do really well in assist and turnovers, and so you're going to kind of, with one point guard, you can get really good in assist-turnover ratio. Maybe you'll lose assists, but you'll net out pretty well there.
Ty
and
Lawson.
Just load up on double-double guys.
Ty Lawson at the best the second best assist to turnover last year, right?
Ty Lawson was. I don't know. Yeah, I'm not sure off the top of my head.
Sorry, I'm still just trying to find guys.
Well, let's move on to the next question.
I can't really memorize the list of assist to turnover ratio guys from last year. That's impressive.
That's how dedicated he is. The next question is from D. Kens, who's on Twitter at GQ Dickens. Okay. Thaddeus Young, what sort of round do you look to targeting him? And I think that comes back to that question that the discussion we've had for the last hour is that when it depends. Round 7? Round 10? No, 8 cat head to head with no punting. He doesn't want to punt.
Okay. Well, that helps. I think he's a good value this year. So, like Yahoo, he's going around pick 90, 85 to 90. And we on our rankings have him at pick 58.
Okay.
So I'm not saying pick him at 58, but you wait a little while after that. But I think he's a good value wherever you pick him. He does. He's one of those guys, especially for what this person is looking for, which is no punting. He's not going to do a lot of anything spectacular besides stills, which is kind of funky for the position he plays.
Yep.
But he does everything pretty good, like just above average.
I hate Thaddeus Young.
Why?
Is that fair? Because he doesn't do anything exceptional. So I feel like I can get a player like him off the waiver wire.
His steal numbers are pretty exceptional.
You can't get somebody who does pretty good at all the categories off. Trying not to punt anything. That's the type of guy with a strategy.
I think everybody's finding out that Mark is actually Max Headroom. you were breaking up really bad there, Mark. It sounded great. It was like ding dong, bing bing bing.
No.
It sounded like you had a spring activated voice.
Kyle, one sec. I'm going to try and do something to try and stop that happening to Mark. So if you want to talk for the next 20 seconds while I go and just set something up, you can keep going so you can keep talking about Thad Young for a sec.
Yeah, let me talk about how crappy Thad Young is. So his most minutes with the Nets was 32 minutes per game in the final 9 games of the season. Before that, he was averaging about 30 to 31 minutes per game while he was on the Nets. Part of the issue that I have with Thaddeus Young is the fact that he's on the Nets. I don't trust what that team is going to do from game to game under Lionel Hollins. I don't know what they're going to go with. They brought Andrea Bargnani onto that team. And then when you look at what Thaddeus Young has done, he's so erratic in his free throw percentage. Here's what Thaddeus Young did from month to month last year. October, 1,000%. That's just the way I say it. November,
that's really 50, good percentage.
50, November, 50%. December, 50% from the line. January, 87% from the line. February, 78%. March, 67%. And then in April, 53% from the line. The dude's erratic as all get out at the free throw line. You can't trust him. So like in some ways, if you draft Thaddeus Young, I kind of feel like you're not punting it, and he's not going to kill you there because he only takes about 2 to 3 free throw attempts per game at the line. But he gives you good rebounds for small forward, but he plays power forward. So, and he doesn't give you blocks. He doesn't really give you good three pointers. Like, I just, and 13 or 14 points, I'm sorry, I can find that on the waiver wire throughout the season. Like, there's not enough about Thaddeus Young to make me want to draft him where I have to draft him, because there's always going to be someone at that point in time who has a much higher ceiling than Thaddeus Young.
I think he's got a really big ceiling, actually, this year. I think that losing Darren Williams, there's not many players on that team. And aside, is there going to be a team less watchable than the Nets this year?
No, not at all.
They're going to be horrible.
Probably not.
They're going to be horrible.
Oh, let's put this on the board. Shane Larkin's going to start at point guard for those fools.
Is he?
Oh, no.
No, he's not.
I don't know. He but could. When you got Lionel Hollins at Media Day saying somebody suggested that Jarrett Jack was going to start at point guard to him, and he said, "Who said that? I didn't say that." And then you hear about how high they are on Shane Larkin and stuff like that, and it's just... And the fact that they think that he's been hurt by injuries and other things throughout his first 2 seasons in the league to the point that he hasn't had the proper opportunity. I don't know. Everything I'm hearing sounds like they are desperate to try Shane Larkin as their starting point guard, which good luck, Charlotte Bobcats, circa the DJ Augustine era.
That sounds like I was going to say it sounds like they're tanking, but they're not tanking.
No.
They have no draft pick.
They're going to be horrible. They're going to be unwatchable, pretty much. Okay.
That's so depressing.
All right, so Thad Young, there's a big range where you can take him. I said, and we're talking to the end of the draft. There's so much variability, but this is an interesting question to me. This is, well, maybe it's not straightforward. Enes Kanter, Jonas Valanciunas, or Tim Duncan?
Tim Duncan.
What sort of league?
Eight cat head to head.
Almost don't care. I love Tim Duncan.
Yep, so do I.
I've drafted him, I think, in every single league that I'm playing in this year.
I draft him every league, every year, because everybody else is looking around going like, he's old, he's not going to do good, this is the year. It's like, no, dude, you're wrong.
He would be old if he was a human being, but he's not, so it doesn't matter. Like, that's what you have to remember with him. He's like a machine or a robot or an alien or something else.
I'm pretty sure he crash-landed at Area 51.
Yeah. That would explain a bit, I guess. They must have some pretty good basketball academies over on Mars or wherever that he came from.
He flew a weather balloon in from the Dominican Republic. Or is he Puerto Rican? I forget.
He's from the U.S. Virgin Islands, so you're close.
I can't wait for my my geography on Jeopardy. It's going to be the dopeness.
All right, so you got him or Valanciunas?
I have Valanciunas marginally ahead. I'm so big on Valanciunas this year because finally Dwayne Casey said, yeah, he's going to play in the fourth quarter. Now, obviously, we have to wait to see it to believe it, but I think that he's got massive, massive upside.
Mm-hmm.
They're definitely they're clearly ahead of Kanter. They're 40 spots ahead of Kanter, most likely. They're both guys that you look at around 50.
I have got Kanter just ahead, so when I say that, they're basically the same. Kanter and Valanciunas just the same.
Really? Okay, that's interesting. I have him a fair way down.
I would probably reach for Valanciunas just because I think there is probably more upside there. But I got to tell you, I am sick of waiting for his upside. He's been an upside draft pick for like 4 years.
But do you think that's
him? I feel the same way.
Is that them? Is he limiting himself, or are they limiting him? I think he's being limited.
No, I agree. I totally agree. I mean, This was probably like the fourth most discussed thing on Kyle and I's podcast last year is when will they play Jonas Valanciunas? But I don't believe because Dwayne Casey says it at Media Day that they're actually going to do it.
And that's a great point too. Like, you have to read between the lines on everything that's said at Media Day. There's sometimes where I'm sure it annoys the heck out of people, but if you follow me on Twitter, you'll notice I'll retweet like something that's very similar to something else that I've just retweeted, and it's because one word will be different, meaning one reporter will type out something or tweet it out, and it'll have one word that's just a little bit different than the other word that the other reporter used, and I want to have both of them there because sometimes that can change the distinction in regard to whether or not a player's or whether or not the news actually holds meaning or whether or not it's just superfluous.
Superfluous. That's a good word.
Precisely.
You should have named that in your podcast, Daily Fantasy Basketball, Superfluous Nancy Basketball Airplane.com.
That was actually our, the domain had been taken though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I tried to buy that. I even bid like $1,000 on it and the guy was like, hell no, dude, I'm holding out.
That's all about SEO optimization for that guy. I can see that being right at the top of the Google rankings. Now, Kyle, Mark, we've been talking for a long time here already, and we haven't even got to about half the stuff I wanted to cover. You guys right to keep going for a little bit more, or you guys got stuff you need to do with your exciting lives?
Oh, no, let me read this this quote from Dwayne Casey. Dude, we don't got anything to do. All we do is fantasy basketball. All right, here's a quote from Dwayne Casey in regards to the Valanciunas crap. There's been a lot made about JV finishing games, Casey said at Media Day. Well, he's getting to the point of his career with the experience that he should be able to do that. I noticed they didn't use him as much in Europe at the end of games, but we plan to use him, especially offensively, down the stretch. You know what that is? That sounds like a load of bullcrap to me.
Yeah. Okay.
Does the precise quote say we should be able to use him?
That he should be able to do that.
So is he saying, hey, I think he's going to play, or is he saying, my stupid center doesn't do the right things, and so I should be able to play him, but I can't.
Well, early in the summer, there was a report on NBA.com by, like, Steve Ashburner or Fran Blindberry or somebody, and there was an interview in that story with Dwayne Casey where he said that they plan on doing the same stuff next year because teams go with a smaller lineup. What I think is stupid about that is you play your best five players and you make the other team play to you. If you can't figure out how to do that, that's your own fault. Like, I think it's dumb that the Cavs didn't figure out a way to use Timofey Mozgov more. But they just, maybe it's because they just got him halfway, and there were issues in the finals where once the Warriors started trapping him down low. What are you laughing about over there, Mark?
He's laughing at me sneezing.
I'm 74 times in a row.
Yeah, I had to turn off my microphone. I was sneezing like crazy.
So you're watching the video of Josh on here? Okay, my bad.
Oh, wow.
I thought you were like...
He turned off his microphone and then sneezed about 400 times.
that's pretty
accurate. What's going on over there?
That's spring. It's springtime. It's hay fever. It's allergy season. I've been outside, you know, moving furniture in and out of the house, through the garden, through the grass, and now it's catching up with me.
Sounds like a lovely place.
No, here the allergies here are something else. There's so much pollen in the air here.
I'm sorry, Kyle. I don't have any idea what you were saying.
It's fine. I don't even remember either. Essentially what I was trying to illustrate is that we still don't know if Valanciunas is actually going to be a consistent force in fantasy this season. And I'm not willing to, kind of like you were saying, Mark, I'm just not buying that this is the year. If the Raptors struggle and Dwayne Casey gets fired, I will be the first to go out and trade for Valanciunas.
Yep.
But until as long as Dwayne Casey's there, I'm not buying it until I actually see it on the court.
Yeah, that's fair enough. And again, this is what we said at the start. The difference in fantasy basketball is so much debate. You guys can not like Valanciunas. I'm all aboard Valanciunas at the moment. I think that there's a lot to like about him, but someone's going to be wrong. We just don't know who it's going to be at this point.
Well, I mean, I guess that's just it. It's the degree of wrong is, like we talked about at the beginning of the podcast, from 30 to 60, it's so flat. The differences in what a player's value is like essentially the same. So whether or not it's just, do you think that Valanciunas is going to be like a top 30 guy, or do you think he's going to be like a top 50 guy? Or
I think he's got potential to be top 40 would be my guess. Potential. Probably won't be. I think top 50 is probably more realistic expectation, but it could break right for a top 40 finish.
And let's illustrate too, like who's got the stats? How... Like, he never played in the fourth quarter, right?
Very, 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 very small amount.
Like, he averaged, like, what, a minute and a half or 2 minutes in the fourth quarter last season per game. Like, it was something really, really mind-blowingly terrible.
Yep. It
was.
And
it's all Dwayne Casey's fault.
But
look, we need somebody new to hate.
Yeah, but he's the guy for me this year. Derek Fisher's got potential. Byron Scott's still there. Fisher's got potential to see how he mismanages the front court. That's going to be interesting.
Byron Scott has a lock on that man.
Yeah, oh yeah, he's terrible.
The stupidest stuff. Yeah.
Mark, did you just call him Byron Scott instead of Brian?
Did I?
He's Byron.
No. I know that, but there was a lot of times last year on our podcast where you would drop a Brian Scott. And it would always make me crack up, and I'd never bring it up.
I wanted you to
keep saying it.
I have such a complex about that because when I was a kid, growing up around the Utah Jazz, there was always such a debate whether it was Byron Russell or Brian Russell. For a while, it was Brian Russell, and everyone was good with that. And then he came out and said it was Byron Russell, and then people would call him Brian to mess with him. And I, you know, as a kid, like, it's just, I had no idea what I was doing with that name, and it still confuses me.
That's so funny. I'm glad we got the origin story.
All right, let's talk about a couple other things. Derrick Rose, facial fracture, orbital fracture, which is eye socket. Does this change anything for you in terms of we're all pretty down on Derrick Rose. Does it change anything for you in terms of where you approach him in drafts? He's not likely going to miss any time in the regular season, a game, maybe two.
I look at it and I say, he's got 2 weeks off not to get hurt in another way, so I like it.
Yep.
Kyle bumps him up. Doesn't... No, I mean, look, we've got him ranked at 125th, so
yep.
I can't bump him down much further than that. He's a starter player in the NBA, so...
And the reason he's at 125 is because of his games played projection, right, Mark?
Right. Yep, exactly. Right.
So on a per-game basis, I'm sure he's, you know, quite a bit higher than that. He's not going to be. He's not top 50. He's not top. He's not top 50. But the games are. Yeah, I don't know where I've got him. I probably should have looked that up before I started talking. I've got him in the 60s.
He's another guy. Someone I don't want to deal with, though. Right? Like, even if he gets to the point in the draft where I've looked at everybody else, I'd probably be passing on him. I don't think the base fracture is any indication that he's injury prone.
Nope.
Like, it's a freak thing that happens. But that shouldn't also say that he's not injury prone.
Can we also talk about the rape in the room? Like, I mean, the elephant in the room. Like, there's also this looming rape allegation against him, and I don't know. They say that it's not going to be a big deal, and that the Bulls have come out in support of him and stuff like that. But like, that's just another reason not to draft Derrick Rose this season.
Now, let me clarify, Kyle. Are you saying you don't want to draft him because you don't like having players accused of rape on your team, or are you saying you don't want to draft him because he might eventually have to sit out games due to that interaction?
I just like to take the whole thing into perspective. Like, I'm drafting a fantasy basketball team to have fun. If midway through the season, my guy is going to be... Now, here's the thing. You go back to, like, Kobe's whole, like, rape stuff in Colorado 10 years ago or whatever it was. He never missed any games, for the most part. He would go back to Colorado, go into the, go do the whole court stuff, and then he'd come back and he'd fly in and he'd show up for the game, like, as it was starting and, like, walk on the court and be like, buckets, buckets, buckets. And that's possible. But this is Derrick Rose. You've got enough red flags already.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got this on top of it. I just don't know if I'm going to waste a pick on him, to put it kindly.
He's one of those guys that, you know, in terms of my rankings, he comes out, you know, at 60 or so for per game, but I'm not, no way that I'm picking a pick 60, like no chance that I'm taking him there. Like if he falls to 85 or 90, maybe, but I'm not picking him at that point. Even though the numbers might suggest it, and it's similar in my Paul George thoughts earlier, the numbers come out there, but there's just too much risk associated with it. Sticking with the Bulls, Mike Dunleavy, that doesn't sound good for him. He's going to be out 8 to 10 weeks, but then Dunleavy was quoted as saying that he just wants to be able to play at all this season. So that's, you know, scarier.
What happened to him?
He had a micro discectomy. Obviously something where they removed part of his disc.
A micro.
wait. They made
yes.
Part of what?
Part of his...
A micro dick.
Yeah. It's just everyone removing their micro dicks. He had a part of his... like a part of the spinal cord, part of the disc removed that was impinging on nerves from what I understand.
Just keep talking about this. I'm such a child and I'm loving it.
Yeah, so they look, the thing is, we're not going to see Dunleavy for the first couple of months, most likely, and there's a chance we don't see him for a big stretch of the season. Doug McDermott becomes the starter. Now, Kyle, we talked about this on the weekend, I think.
Can I drop a pun before we stop talking about Dunleavy? Look, if your Mike is done, so you can leave him alone.
You know what?
In drafts.
I should have had my hang on. Let's just tread water for 5 seconds while I bring up my sound effects, because that deserves something. This is really working well. Where are we?
That deserves the silence it got, I think.
What,
yes!
Like this?
Rim shot!
There you go. I mean, but nobody was drafting Mike Dunleavy, right?
No, they weren't, but what that that's yeah, that's
please
fine.
Don't do that.
Don't draft Mike Dunleavy, but what do you think now? What does it change with anyone else's value? That's where I'm getting. Does Doug McDermott become a last round flyer? Does it improve Nikola Mirotic's outlook? How do you look at that?
Go ahead, Mark. I mean,
I still don't believe that Nikola Mirotic is a small forward.
No, I don't believe that either.
That works. Nope. It can't work in the NBA.
Although Thibodeau, did you guys read his interview with Steve Ashburner today on NBA.com?
No, I have not seen that.
Please,
yeah, it's a good time. He happened to say that Stan's going to do some great stuff with those Detroit boys, so that was nice. But he also said he was asking questions about the Chicago Bulls to Steve Ashburner, and the one of the things he said is, what do you think they're going to do with Mirotić, more time at small forward or more time at power forward? I just thought that was interesting. It doesn't really tell you a lot, but it's interesting that he was asking such a pointed question about his team,
The Bulls' depth at small forward is not great. There's McDermott, there's Tony Snell, who, yeah, I'm not a massive fan of, and that's an understatement. McDermott's got to be the guy that gets that extra run, I would think. But Mark, is he your guy that, you know, your projections look on kindly, because he doesn't come out that great in mine?
You're talking about Snell or McDermott? I guess it doesn't matter. The answer is the same.
Yep.
Yeah, we have some historical evidence less on McDermott than we do on Snell, but the evidence for both suggests they're not good NBA players yet.
Yep. McDermott only helps you in three categories definitively if he gets enough time: points, three-pointers, and rebounds, and that's it, right?
And that's theoretically, right? Because that hasn't happened in real life yet.
Right. I mean, other than I'm just talking about looking back at his college stats.
You're
like,
just saying, yeah, what could he help you in if he was good?
Right.
And thus far, he hasn't even shown those.
Exactly. Look, maybe with a last pick, but that's probably a 10% chance of it paying off, and maybe that's enough for you to take a risk. But I'm not all that excited about the. And Tony Snell,
if you have a Doug McDermott college jersey, go ahead. But other than that, I would say pick somebody else.
If you're in a super deep dynasty league or something, like, it might be worth somebody, like in our salary cap league, it might be worth somebody going and grabbing him in that league.
Kyle. That's yeah. Done, mate. I've grabbed him already in that league.
Okay.
Because I actually grabbed both him and Snell. I grabbed both him and Snell, and then I dropped Snell to grab Anthony Bennett.
I went in there to pick up Anthony Bennett, and I noticed that you adjusted his salary and picked him up at the same time.
No, I didn't adjust his salary, actually. JJ did. I don't know when that was done. JJ is the guy who handles the salaries. It wasn't me. I assure you, it wasn't me. You can, JJ
oh, wait,
can comment
are,
on that.
Are we already able to pick up guys in that league?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I put a waiver claim on Bennett. That was the only guy I put a waiver claim on. Huh. I hate you guys.
Cool. It must be that you didn't know. Yeah.
Josh got the waiver priority tiebreaker in that he's the commissioner.
I thought that the waivers weren't going until a week before the league started or something. When did they actually go live?
Straight after the draft.
I hate you.
That's just the commissioner settings, Kyle.
That's such bullshit.
The rest of
no one else can
do this. Because as soon as Anthony Bennett got waived, I went and I put a waiver claim in on him. I hate you guys for real. I quit.
Cool. Markieff Morris, he's back. He says he wants to be in Phoenix now, apparently. What are we?
He used some very careful words, right?
He did. He was. He said that I don't have the exact quote in front of me, but he said that he's happy to be here and play for this team, but who knows how long that's going to last. But what I'm trying to get at...
What I read that he was saying is, I don't want to get fined, right? Like, we don't think he's actually happy there.
No.
He just doesn't want to get fined again.
But
what's the coach's name there?
Jeff Hornacek.
Thanks. There's a really good picture I'm going to try to find so you can put it up on the broadcast.
Let me know when you get that, call, and I will put it up. But
I will.
Markieff, this uncertainty, does it knock him down your rankings or your draft board, or what do you think of him? Because he could say he's happy. They could say we're happy to have him back. Next minute, he's traded to another team. Like, how do you view it?
Well, I mean, I think there's two scenarios, right? One is that he stays in Phoenix. The other is that he goes. So let's first scenario: he stays in Phoenix. I don't think they limit his minutes due to this. I think they probably, if they're keeping him, they're trying to keep him happy. Jeff Hornacek basically probably says, hey, management maybe screwed you over, but go prove him wrong on the court. Like, I don't see Hornacek holding that against him. So I think he's the same thing as you would expect had this not happened in Phoenix from a fantasy perspective. I think it's not great for their team, like from a wins-loss perspective, but from a fantasy perspective, I think he's fine. If they trade him, I'm presuming the team that trades for him needs him and wants him, and so I don't see a big decrease in minutes there. So I'm just going along with business as usual with Marquise Morris, and I actually think this is a good opportunity to get him at a discount because other people may be scared from taking him.
You might be able to get him outside the top 100 in certain situations, and I think that's tremendous value.
I've seen
that happen, and I'm with you.
Oh, you're right, though. He's going at basically 100th pick in Yahoo.
Yeah,
I'd pick him in closer to 50.
I'm happy. 70 to 80 is a range for me, but yeah, you don't have to pick him at 50. If he's going at 100, you're not going to have to necessarily go that high. I think that's great. Now, Kyle, how do you see it?
I just don't like the dude, so I'm not taking him at all. I mean, and I know that that's kind of didactic or whatever, but he's shot 33% from three for his career, 32% each of the last two seasons. Not even hitting one three-pointer per game, not getting a block per game, not only getting a steal per game last year. Like, he averaged a career-high 32 minutes per game last year, 31.5, scoring a career-high 15 points per game last year. I just kind of – I look at him and I say he's very similar to Thaddeus Young in that, like, I feel like why would I take Markieff Morris if I think I can get the same stats or better out of Stanley Johnson with my last pick? Like, I would rather take somebody else in the 50 range. Like, I don't know, Ricky Rubio or somebody.
The problem is, Kyle, those players don't exist on the waiver wire. Like,
I think there's guys that you can get at the end of the draft who can get you very similar stats to what Markieff Morris gets. I look at his stats and it doesn't add up to me. Like, taking him with like the 50th pick, that. I don't know, man.
No, I don't. You don't want to take him at 50, but I'm happy to grab him 20 spots higher than his ADP, 80, 70, around that spot. I think he's going to be good value for that area. Again, it's another thing where we can disagree.
Well, I don't mean to be like such a, you know, like an ardent butthole about it or anything. Like, I mean, convince
now,
me.
Now, hang on a sec, Kyle. That should be the name of your podcast, The Ardent Butthole. That's traction.
That's very close to my suggestion for the podcast.
That's traction. Actually.
My recommendation was fantasy NBA holes.
Ardent butthole.
Anyway, well, like you just, I mean, those stats, like I understand how they don't pop out to you, but there's just players. There aren't players outside the top 100 that get you 15 points, 6 rebounds, over a steal, close to a 3-pointer. And a half a block a game. Like, if you pick one of those guys up, that's great, but they're going to be in the top 75, top 50 pretty soon. So,
you know what?
If that's
what
you're talking about, that's fine. But, like, once the league is kind of shaken out and the right players are owned, like in January, you can't find that on the waiver wire.
Yeah, I'm with Mark on that. You're wrong, Carl.
Fine. I'm not drafting Markieff Morris because I hate him.
And
I think that's fine.
That's fair enough as well.
Yeah. I'm just saying, like, when you're saying, hey, I'm not drafting Thaddeus Young because he's going to hit the player just like him is going to always be available on the waiver wire. I think you're only finding that type of player on the waiver wire at the very beginning of the season if you're lucky.
Yeah.
Like the value is there. He actually has value because he. The stats
but it's not just his stats though too. He's mercurial. There's reasons to like who the hell believed in Markieff Morris before he got to Phoenix? What team believed in him? I'm sorry, he's been there his whole career, but I don't know. Like it's like until they got the new GM or whatever, and Hornacek got there as took over as the coach. Like I don't know, man. I don't believe in Markieff Morris as a power forward center who's going to be on a great team. I just feel like he's just a wet fart.
And that's fair enough.
That would have been another good name.
So many names. You're missing out so many opportunities here.
we'll just tack it on at the end. We'll get a new URL.
Make it
the scariest thing about Markieff Morris getting traded to the Pistons was that I was afraid, and I'm still afraid, that Markieff Morris is going to find his way onto the Pistons. Like, it's fine if they're both on the team and they want to go on, like, some kind of rampage and they want to be the new, like, bad boys or whatever. Totally cool with that. Come over and be psycho with us. But they seem psycho in, like, a delusional type of way, and I don't like that. Not in, like, a Bill Laimbeer calculated way. I like my psycho calculated and serial killer-ish, not just manic and I have a drinking problem.
That's one way of phrasing it, I guess. That's one way of looking at it.
We talked about Derek Rose's allegations. He's got some similar legal issues that he's dealing with, which is maybe another reason not to, to approach them, him if you don't want.
Yes, that is also true. Now, I want to talk about Kenneth Faried for a second, who came out and said the following. If you don't have a coach that believes in you, then what's the point of going out there and playing? If your coach doesn't have faith in you and puts you out in the fire against all these great players, you're going to get torched. He's clearly talking about Coach of the Year Brian Shaw, but what do we make of this for Kenneth Faried this season? With now that he's got a coach that believes in him, is he going to live up to the lofty expectations that people had set for him last year, or is he limited by his own personal shortcomings as a player? Kyle,
do we know that Mike Malone actually believes in Kenneth Faried though?
No, we're implying that based on him saying that he had someone that didn't believe in him previously. And he's comparing the two, is my understanding of it. We don't know. He might believe in J.J. Hickson more, which would be wrong. But it's a possibility.
I don't know what to think about that team overall. I mean, the most sure thing on that team to me is Emmanuel Mudiay. Because every other position is just, you got injury problems. Or, I mean, Danilo Gallinari is going to be potentially great this year. But he also, the way I see Danilo Gallinari being great is if he ends up scoring 20 points a game.
Yep.
And they just give him the ball and they're like, you're our best player, go score, and then we'll figure out everything else after that. Like, I'm just not high on anybody else because there's too much parity. Wilson Chandler's never been somebody who's gone out, you know, gone ham in the NBA. He's always just been a role player on his team. And every once in a while, he flashes stuff where you're like, geez, old Pete, Wilson Chandler, you're so talented. Go do more. But he never really does. And then Nurkic at center, great talent, you know, Bosnian boogie and all that. But he's coming back from a knee injury that's going to hold him out for another month or two from now, at least. And I just don't know who's going to play there. And I don't know how the offense is going to spin out. So I'm terrified about Kenneth Faried and everybody else on that Nuggets team.
I'm not a Kenneth Faried guy myself. Mark, what about you?
I can understand what he's saying, and like from a team win-loss perspective, I can see like how Brian Shaw is basically like a dementor of fun and happiness, right? Sucking it out of the players. But from a stats perspective, I don't think that you could find a lot of historical examples of players getting much better or worse statistically on a per possession basis by switching coaches. NBA players are kind of who they are. Like, they get better or worse, but they generally kind of do the same stuff on a per possession basis. So much of it just depends on playing time. So I don't see any reason why Kenneth Faried would be the exception to that rule. I bet he does generally the same things. But if you look at his per-possession numbers at the end of the season, the rebounds are right in line with his career averages, his points are right in line with his career averages, and maybe, like, he smiles more and there's a different narrative in Denver, and he says, like, you know, we had such a way better season, I played way better, and he feels like he played better, and the columnists feel like he played better, but from a stats perspective, I bet it looks almost identical.
The thing is, he might see more minutes, and you know, he might see one or two more minutes, yeah. And that'll help, but I still think he's going to get overdrafted. Maybe not as much as what he was last season, but I'm still not a massive fan, and it doesn't really change my outlook on him a huge amount. What about the Dallas situation, guys? Chandler Parsons, Wes Matthews, conflicting reports about Wes Matthews. He's going to be out till Christmas, and Rick Carlisle calling people an idiot if they think that he said that. I'm scared. I'm terrified of both of these guys. Parsons less so than Matthews. He had this odd microfracture procedure on his knee that we don't really know anything about. It's never really been done in NBA players. They're both going to struggle to be ready for opening night. Are you drafting Parsons? Are you drafting Matthews? Kyle?
I'm drafting John Jenkins.
Yeah, I know you're drafting John Jenkins.
Oh, John Jenkins. I'm not drafting Parsons. I'm not drafting Wes Matthews. I'm definitely not drafting Wes Matthews.
No, Matthews for sure.
And Parsons, I don't know enough about the surgery to warrant using a pick on him where you would have to draft him. And that's kind of the biggest thing for me is that where you need to draft Parsons right now, I don't want to deal with that, the uncertainty regarding his health.
Yep. I agree with that completely. I think that he could be okay, but if you have to pick him in the 50s, I don't want to do it at pick 50. And Wes Matthews, I got no, he should go undrafted in standard leagues unless someone picks him with the last couple of picks, stashes him on IR, but then you're probably gonna have to hold him for 6 weeks to 2 months, and even then we don't know what he's gonna be when he comes back. That contract is gonna look real bad pretty soon, I reckon.
And I'm actually scared off by the fact that Wes Matthews is coming out and saying stuff like, I don't miss games and stuff like that.
He's
like,
just settle down, man. What are you doing?
Yes, exactly. Chill out. Notice how many times people have come back from Achilles injuries or other injuries early.
It doesn't work. You can't do it.
And then you overcompensate and you create another injury. You're just hurting yourself.
Kevin Durant, look at him last year. Like Russell Westbrook the season before with his knee. Like two big profile examples. Come back early. You've got to push and get out there. And it doesn't work. You either play worse than what you actually are, and then you get hurt again. And it's not a good way to do it. It's just not. And even when he comes back, he's not going to be the same guy. So Wes Matthews, we can forget about him. What about another Dallas guy, Dirk Nowitzki? They've said that they threw out a figure of limiting him to 26 minutes a night. What do you make of that, Mark?
All right. I was just swallowing some water and went down the wrong pipe. I mean, I think that's probably going to happen, but that's not too different from what he's been giving us. What was he at last year? 28, 28 and a half?
Yeah, I think so.
So that's not a lot different. I mean, I think you were a little wary that his production, what are we, in year 35 of Dirk Nowitzki?
Yeah, that sounds about accurate.
Sounds about right.
So, you know, and he's never, like, in a head-to-head league, which most people play in, I don't think he's somebody that you really want to target there anyways. But I still think he has value, like, in a 9-cat league. If you can get him later in the draft, if you can get him in the 50s or 60s, I still think he's going to do enough things for you that he might be into Tim Duncan territory with this news where, yeah, he's not exciting anymore and his upside is limited, but he's so good as a basketball player that even in limited minutes, even as an old man, he can still be valuable in a roto league.
I think the thing that we really need to stress here is his O rank on Yahoo is 38 and his ADP is 41. And
don't do that.
Nope. No. Top 70 is a massive stretch for Dirk. He's a 90 to 110 sort of guy for me, if at all. And I don't think he's going to last to that sort of range. I'm probably not going to want a huge amount to do with him. And this was even really before the minutes restriction came in, because what he does, he's not valuable enough to pick in the top 40. He's just not at this point in his career. From what we saw last season, a decline started. He's not a terrible player, but the decline did start to begin.
Yeah, I think for him to really have value, it's got to be a 9-cat roto league.
Yep.
I think he's can be a sneaky good guy, but yeah, not at 35. You know, if you can get him at 55 or 60, then you've got a good value probably for 9-cat roto league. I think anything else, 8-cat or a head-to-head league, I don't think you want to deal with him.
Kyle, Iman Shumpert is out for the next 12 to 14 weeks with a wrist injury. What does that mean for the Cavs guys? Who benefits? Who jumps up in terms of their value? How do you read that situation?
Mo Williams is going to be better as long as Kyrie Irving's still out. J.R. Smith is going to be a great source of three-pointers. And, you know, decent in steals and decent in... Actually, I don't even know what his assists were with
his
Cavs. His
assists are normally okay, I think, aren't they?
Right, but I wasn't sure if it changed last year with the Cavs, because wasn't it something absurd? Like 67% of his field goal attempts last year with the Cavs were three-pointers? Like once J.R. Smith came to the Cavs, all he did was chuck three-pointers. It was like 8.7 attempts per game or something nuts like that. Yeah, it was 7.3 attempts per game with the Cavs, 2.8 three-pointers per game. Like, that's why you draft J.R. Smith, and maybe he gets more than the 32 minutes per game early in the season than what he would get last year.
His assists did go way down in Cleveland, right? No, yep. They went down a full from 3.5 to 2.5.
Yeah, that is a difference, clearly. But he's going to get... Look, Mo Williams is probably the guy that gets the biggest bump because we saw him play with the ball, we saw him play off the ball last season, and he was fine in both roles.
How much is Kyrie doing at camp right now, though?
Apparently, he's been running for the last 3 weeks. He's not doing full participation, but he has been running for the last 3 weeks.
And that's... I hate the ambiguity going on about Kyrie right now because, like Josh, I saw in the mock draft earlier, you drafted him at the end of the second round, right?
Yep.
And I'm too afraid to draft Kyrie this year because it's not just... Like, the dude just broke his kneecap on, like, a... Wasn't it a non-contact or was it an actual contact?
No, there was contact. Klay Thompson kneed him in the knee.
Okay. That's fair, then. But he just seems to be so brittle. Dude needs to come up to Wisconsin and eat some cheese, man.
Mark, what's your take on Kyrie or this situation in general? Are you steering clear of Kyrie in the first two rounds?
I think especially like in a head-to-head league, I'm probably not. I'm going to work under the assumption that he will come back at some point in the season, and I'm going to hope to be able to make the playoffs, you know, like weather the storm if it's a couple of weeks or even if it's worse case than that, and then you've got him for the playoffs.
I'm predicting
that's a couple I'm a little weeks. More wary of him, but no, in a head-to-head league, I'm fine with taking him, especially if you meet him at the end of the second round. I think that's great.
That's where I grabbed
him. How much have you guys been... end of the second round is a good discount for him, considering what he does. I'm terrified. You know, ever since I drafted Andrew Bynum like 5 years ago, anybody who's got like injury concerns early in the draft, I don't want to deal with them. Have you guys talked much about the whole aspect that now Yahoo has the IR slots this year?
I don't think I've talked about it a huge amount.
Like that changes the conversation on a lot of these injured guys too, because now you can actually stash guys who are injured in Yahoo's game. So whereas previously ESPN was the only one that was offering an injured reserve spot, now you can actually use that on Yahoo this season, which is it's going to change the strategy that you have in many regards with some of the injured guys.
Oh, good point.
Especially if you think they're going to be out for the first 2 to 3 weeks of the season, grab them, stash them. You might get a loss the first 2 weeks, but it strengthens your team. You've got to really weigh it up as how much time they're going to miss. Like if they're going to miss 3 months, then you're probably not going to want to waste a high pick on that because you're just not going to end up winning enough games to get to the playoffs. It's very league dependent, but I think it's a good that Yahoo gives you that option. Like you don't have to use it. Some people don't want to use it, but it's good that the option is there, and they listen to people who've been clamoring for it for years to give us this option of using an IR spot, and they did, and that's great, and it does give you that option. I do like using the IR spot because injuries, you don't want injuries to completely ruin your season. They are still going to ruin it. If you lose a top player, you're still going to find it hard to come back, but it's not going to be necessarily impossible.
Something that we did a lot is we would always extend our number of players on our roster just so that we would have more room to stash guys. Now, in daily lineups leagues that...
Kyle's dropped out. Mark, are you still there, or is it me that's dropped out? I think it's me that's dropped out. Well, we'll wait until we get everybody back before we continue the show. Kyle's back. We're all back. My internet's back in online. I dropped out for the 5 minutes. I don't know what you were talking about for the last couple of minutes because I wasn't there.
I was wondering why nobody was stopping me, to be honest.
Didn't hear any of that. Couldn't hear any. So I'm sure it was brilliant. And you know what? The people on YouTube, I'm sure, would have still heard it. I just didn't hear it. So if you want to hear Kyle's great takes on life and Milwaukee cheese, you can head across there and have a listen to that on YouTube. I assume he would have been there. But I think they've dropped out again. Guys, are you still there? No, gone again. That's disappointing. I might have to wrap this up if we're going to continue to have these problems for these last couple of minutes. So what I will say is, the live broadcast has dropped out completely. I'm going to work to get this back on.
Everything's back. Free. Hey, are we actually still broadcasting?
We are still broadcasting, yes.
I have no idea, man. That's so bizarre.
That's too bad.
Yeah, I'm sorry, right, people.
Well, yeah. Kyle just
might be good.
40 straight seconds.
What did he do?
I was servicing myself. Live on the air. This is the most riveting, and it's turned into a anyways.
All right, I'm back. We're back. I reckon we might wrap it up now. So in case we have any more of these issues, Kyle, let's give your website a plug one more time, because I reckon we probably haven't touched double digits of mentioning it yet.
DailyFantasyBasketballPodcast.com. Just type in Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast. We wanted to try and capitalize.
Does it come up if you do that? I'm not sure if it comes up. I think you get out of do the.com.
Yeah.
I'm going to try it right now.
People start searching it enough, you know. It'll rise in the rankings, I think.
No, it doesn't.
The RotoWire and RotoGrinders comes up.
Ooh, those aren't ours.
Even I come up on that page. So you can search that. Just scroll down to the bottom of that page, and you'll see this podcast on there. But you will come up. You will come up eventually.
But yeah, no, yeah, that's Mark and I's website now. So you can go there and check everything out. It's all free. Like, it's all free. Just free rankings and all that kind of crap. You know, whatever you need. Also, if you want anything new on there or different on there, let Mark and I know. Also, I don't know how to do website stuff at all. So it looks like a pile of excrement. If you can help at all, and you're similar to Mark and I, you like puns and whatnot, there's actually a link on the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast.com that says we need help. If you read that, that kind of explains it all. Essentially, if you can do graphic design stuff and you can just like come up with some kind of logo for us, that would be super awesome. I don't know, man. I guess I'm hands out, just panhandling here.
If I could help you, I would. I'm terrible at that stuff as well.
Yeah, it's all good, dude. Anyways.
Cool.
Yeah, holler at me on Twitter, RotoKyleNBA.
Or you can also holler at Mark. Mark, where are you on Twitter?
At Mark F. Roberts.
And that's Mark spelt with a C.
Yeah, still with a C.
If I'm correct, you haven't gone the name change now that you've gone all Hollywood. You haven't, you know, started to change the name or anything. Oh, there you are, yeah. Kyle. Page 3 of Google. If you type in Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast, the site comes up.
Hey, that's much better. It was like page 6 last night. So
go to Daily Fantasy Basketball. Type that into Google.
We are climbing
the third result page.
Yep, third page. And then click the link, and you're going to get it to come up. Kyle, we need to get your podcast back up to podcast 1B with me being 1A or vice versa. I'm happy to share number 1 ranking with you.
Josh, I probably shouldn't. I've been meaning to tell you this. I just feel like we're just going to keep like we're like two turtles that are like in a race with each other, but one gets exhausted every once in a while. And we're just going to keep climbing on each other's back to get a little bit higher or a little bit further down the line. And that's why I think we love each other so much.
That sounds exactly right. I'm all about turtles and turtle heads and things like that. So that's a great way of putting it. And I don't know if that turtle head joke went over, because that's probably not something that's said in America.
You're talking about a wiener.
And on that note, I think we'll say goodbye. Make sure you are subscribing to this podcast on iTunes. And, of course, when Kyle's podcast and Mark's podcast comes out, you subscribe to that. Leave us both reviews. Leave me a good review. That'd be nice. Leave something. 5 stars, funny comments. Get the podcast up in those rankings. Let's take these top couple of spots in the podcast rankings. That would be fantastic if you could do that. And check out Hardwood Paroxysm, of course, as well. Basketball Monster, Daily Fantasy Basketball, podcast.com. Plenty of sites, redrockbasketball.com. Follow all of us on Twitter. Mark, thank you.
You are welcome.
Not a problem. Kyle, thank you.
Thank you, Josh.
No worries. And everyone else, thank you so much for listening. See ya.